Good morning, Authentic! Woo! Wow. Don't our pastors look so rested? Isn't it great that they're on the ocean? They're getting to go in it. We're getting rained on, right? Oh, I'm just so glad to be here with you this morning. My name is Kathy Routon, as Pastor and Lizzie had said. My husband and I get the privilege to serve you as Connections pastors here at Authentic. I don't know if you can see my husband anywhere out there. Matt, are you out there? Is he out there? Where's he at? Anybody help me out? He's right there. That's my Latino lover back there. Come on now. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Got to keep it fresh in this house, all right? All right. So anyway, what is a Connections pastor? Man, it's just an easy thing. We just connect you to the body of Christ. If you have a need, we try to meet that need. We try to fill in the gap where there's gaps here in the body. And, you know, if you want to be in a group, we try to connect you with your group. If you need to know more about Jesus, Matt and I like to meet with you and just talk to you about Jesus and what this Jesus thing is all about. If you have needs or prayer things, we just like to pray with you. We just want to do life with you. That's what it's about. So if we've not met you, please, after church, please come and find one of us, or we'll try to find you. We want to connect with you. We want to know you. We value you here at Authentic. Please know that. We value each and every one of you are important to us. And as we talk about valuing something, Pastor just kicked off the sermon series last week, man, like a champ. Yeah. I mean, come on. It was so good. We were actually out of town. Yeah, we were out of town visiting my dad in Iowa. I was enjoying the cows and the cornfields on a farm. And y'all, I was calling the cows in. Y'all didn't know I could do that, but I can. I can call the cows and they come. That's something, huh? Yeah. So anyway, but on our way back on Sunday, we had the ability to be able to listen to it live stream, and it kept coming in and out. But we really just enjoyed it. It was challenging, and God just surely showed up, didn't he? And he moved, and hopefully it opened up something for you to be able to better understand how to hear the voice of God. And this week, I hope just to add on, sprinkle a little bit more salt on this week so that you have more of an understanding, because the voice of God has been so misunderstood. And people think it's kind of this weird thing, but let me tell you something. It's the most powerful, life-changing thing that you could ever have if you ever understand how to connect to the source and hear his voice. And I want to try to give you practical application of how to hear it. It's going to be simple. And you probably were thinking, man, I wish I would have thought of that. Well, after today, you will have, okay? So today, we're going to talk about honoring the voice of God. Can you say honor the voice? Honoring the voice just means you're going to put value to it. When he speaks, you're going to embrace it, and you're going to say, you know what? That's Jesus speaking, and if he says it, then that's good enough for me. And I'm going to just give honor to it because he deserves that honor. Just like the Bible says, honor your parents, honor your mother and father so it goes well for you. I say that a lot in my house. Honor so you have a long life. I tell my children, so you have a long life. You don't want this short life. You want a long life. Honor, we need to bring honor back to the body. Oh, that wasn't very many. We need to bring honor back to the body. But that's for another day and another sermon. But that's right now I'm going to talk about honoring his voice. And we're going to flip open our Bibles to the book of Exodus this morning. Get on your phone or look at the screen. It's Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 through 19. And it says this, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothes. And be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits or set a boundary for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it.'" So he's giving them instruction right there. "Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They have to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain." After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, or he washed them, and they washed their clothes. And they said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations." You can't have sex for 3 days. Sorry, people. "On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled." And then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up in it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here together today. Thank you, Lord, that you want to teach us about hearing your voice. Father, I just give this time to you today, Lord. I know that you want to speak, and you already have been speaking in the first experience, and now, Lord, you want to speak in the second experience, Lord. We pray, God, that people will just sit back and be able to receive what you have to say today. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. So we're talking about honoring the voice of God. We all want to hear the voice of God, wouldn't you say? How many of you guys want to be able to hear God when he speaks? Come on, raise those hands. How many want to hear him when he speaks? Yeah. We all want to hear the voice of God. And I believe that God wants to speak to us all the time. He is speaking to us all the time. We can't hear specific words of God if we don't recognize him speaking. Sometimes he speaks in the thunder, like we read in the Bible today. Sometimes he speaks in the lightning. Sometimes he speaks in the winds. Sometimes he speaks in the waves. Sometimes he speaks in the smoke. But many times God speaks in the stillness and in the quiet and the mundane. Sometimes he speaks powerfully in our things that we do in an everyday life, like cooking breakfast for our kids or getting them ready for school or going to our job that we've had for 25 years. The things that we do on a daily basis, every day, going to the grocery store, don't you think that God can speak there? He can speak there. But lots of times we cut ourselves off to believe that that's just coincidence and that isn't God speaking. But I'm here to prove to you today through the word of God, which is the power, which is the proof of anything, that if God says it in his word, then he can do it. He can do it, and he wants to speak to you today. So today we got to lean in. You know, Pastor tells us to lean in. We're going to talk about leaning in and leaning back today. But right now I want you to lean in. I want you to lean in to hear what the word says about hearing the voice of God. So our first point today is this: to hear the voice of God or to honor his voice, we've got to set an appointment with God. Set an appointment. Exodus 19:19 says this. Moses was speaking and God was answering him in a voice. So Moses set an appointment with God. He met with God, and then what did God do in return? He spoke to him. Because Moses spoke with God, he made an appointment with him, God answered by voice. So that tells me that God comes to a prepared atmosphere. If we prepare room for God to speak, he will speak with us. He will meet with us. Preparation comes before an encounter with God. Moses had to meet with God, prepare his people, and then God spoke to him. So pretty much when you want to meet with God and you want to hear from him, you've got to set an appointment with him. So some of us use planners, some of us use our phones. So we need to make a time that we meet with God. To hear from him, we got to spend time and we've got to meet with him. So let's set a time and a place to hear from him. The Bible talks about early in the morning. Will I seek thee? Now, I know that not all of you are early morning people. Come on, I've met some of you. I've been around some of you in the early morning. Mm-mm. That is not for you. But here's the easy thing is set a time. What time is best for you? If you want to meet with God and hear his voice, set the time that's best for you. Maybe it's afternoon. Maybe it's late at night. My husband's late at night. You know, some of my kids, their best time is during the afternoon. Set the time that works best for you. Just because I get up at 5 a.m. does not mean you've got to get up at 5 a.m. Because last time I checked, God's the same at 5 a.m. that he is at 12 midnight. All right? So don't let anybody mislead you telling you that you got to get up 5 a.m. to hear from God. Because that ain't true. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. What it says is that if you set an appointment with God, if you carve out time in your schedule to be with the Lord, he will meet with you and he will speak to you. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it all through the New Testament. My challenge to you today is set that time with God. Pick the time that's best for you. Maybe it's in the tractor when you're out in the field. Then spend that time with God. If it's at the lunch at lunchtime for your at when you're at business, set that time with God. If it's for me, it's early in the morning before all my kids get up. You know, do I like that morning time? I really don't. But if I'm going to have my time with God, and if I'm going to hear what God says for me to do that day, because I ask him every day, God, what is your assignment for me today? That's my prayer every day. It ain't some ushy-gushy prayer. It's, God, what do you want me to do today? And sometimes he just says, Kathy, just keep on keeping on. Or, you know, do this today. You know, be aware of this today. But you know what? We make it so difficult. So set your time, but also not that, but set a place to meet with God. You know, I have this place in my house. It's called the green room, just because the carpet's green. So the kids call it the green room. It is not for, it's not a fancy room like we have back here for people, you know, but it's a place where I meet with God. And the kids know that when mama's in there, and the doors are closed, don't go in there. Now, my kids are still learning to be obedient. You know, hello? They're still learning. And sometimes I'll be sitting in there just reading or listening to music. And, you know, I'm getting lost with Jesus. That's what I do. And my kids, like, roll their eyes and things like that because that's what sometimes kids do. And I can see notes coming under the doors. Can I have this for breakfast? Can I do this? Can I do this, you know? Or I have them standing there going, you know, are you done yet, Mom? I'm like, for your well-being, no. You know, I got to have my time with God, but that's my location. Now, can God speak to me up in my bedroom? Yes, he can. Can he speak to me when I'm in the yard working in the garden? Yes, and he does. But every day I make a point, and sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I don't always make it into the green room. All right? And that's okay because God understands that. But I'm saying every day, find a time, find a location, what suits you best, and meet with God because he wants to speak with you. Pick your location. You know what's better for anyone else than what's for you. So what works for me probably doesn't work for you. All God cares about is that you make room for him so he can have time for you. Preparation is the breeding ground to hearing the word of God. We got to prepare to hear from him. And if we don't prepare, then we can't hear from him. You know, that's one of the big things here at Authentic Church. There's people all week long preparing for these experiences just for you because that's how special you are to us. That's how special you are. People are working on their music throughout the week. People are working on the lighting. People are cleaning the facility, making sure that they have all the supplies for you to get coffee. They're preparing. Can you imagine what it would be like if you came to this house and no one opened the door for you? Can you imagine what it'd be like when you went to go to the cafe to get coffee and there was no coffee for you? That would not be good for me because I love some coffee. Can you imagine what it'd be like when you wanted to drop your kids off at Authentic Kids and there was no one there to teach your children? They prepare. We prepare. Preparation is the breeding ground to hear God's voice. So God is doing the same thing for you today. He's telling you, if you want to hear from me, then just set an appointment with me. Make time in your schedule for me because I want to talk to you and I want to give you instructions for your daily life. I want to give your marching orders for the day. I want to be involved in your life. I want to have a hand in your life, but you've got to set an appointment with me. Number two, be still and worship. If you want to hear the voice of God and honor it, be still and worship. Psalms 46:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And that's a difficult thing for us these days, just to keel it down a little bit and to be still and not to do anything. Be still in that scripture doesn't mean stop doing, okay? Because many of us take it in that context. Be still in that context means this, lean back and rest in the hands of God. So when you be still and know that he's God, you're leaning back. And you're trusting that God's got it covered. Okay, so we need to be still and know that he is God. Exodus 14:13 says this. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Don't be scared. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance or the salvation of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. And in another translation, it says in that verse 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need to be still. You need to only be still. I'm going to refer back to that scripture in a few minutes. And then the next scripture I just want to share with you is 2 Chronicles 20, 17. It says, you will not have to fight this battle. These are instructions the Lord's giving his people. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. And the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. He worshiped him. And then the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and said, and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa, and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you'll be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to go before or to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, and they went out ahead of the army and saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And they began to sing and to praise. The Lord has set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who are invading Judah. And they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, and they helped destroy one another. So God continued to tell his people to stand and to be still. Then after he told them to be still, he said, to now worship me. It's now time to worship. You lean back and you be still and know that he's God, but then you worship. And he set the singers out before the soldiers. Before any battle, and we're all fighting one. How many are fighting a battle right now? Something that you're in, you're frustrated. Only a couple people are fighting a battle. Come on, let's get our hands up. We're all probably, if we're not fighting a battle, we're about to go into one. Because that's just how it works. It's like it's a circle. And we're going into battle, and we're fighting. And soon enough, we want to hear the voice of God in concern to this battle. But we need to be still, and we need to worship. We don't always have to take movement. We don't always have to take action. I'm a justice kind of lady. I like to have justice for things. There's things that are just black and white. That's just how it is. You know, that's how I think. But that doesn't always make it right. And what I'm saying is that, you know, there's times for us to stand up for the right things. There's times for us to be still. And we need to hold our peace and let God go before us and fight battles. There are battles that have been won for you that you have no idea because God's went ahead and fought them for you. Case in point, let me share just a personal experience from my own life. All my children are adopted, you know, and I'm just so grateful for the journey that I've had in my relationship with my kids and how God has brought all my children into my life. And I had one instance where one of my children was with us for a couple of months and then had been removed from our care and taken to another placement. And it had broken my heart. And at that point, I knew what God had told me, that my boy, my son, he was my kid. That was my child. But yet, the state of Illinois said something different to me. You understanding? And they had authority over me, but they didn't know who I served. Because, see, I had a word from God, and God had told me, Kathy, this is not your battle. You just stand and be still. Because I'm going before you, and I'm fighting this battle for you. Now, I'm not telling you that that was easy for me. I'm telling you that that was probably one of the most difficult seasons of my life, or few months of my life, that I had to sit back, lean in the arms of God, and trust that he was going before me to fight this battle. But let me tell you something. When God promises you something and he speaks to you and he tells you that it's yours. You can take that to the bank and you can cash it in and trust that the money is raining. Because I'm here to tell you, I don't know if my son is in here, but is my son in here? Is my son in here? All right, stand up, son. Is he here? Well, that's my promise back there. I'm just going to tell you, he might not stand up, he might be shy, but that's my promise. God fulfilled his promise. Only a few months later, when we stood and be still and we kept our mouth shut and we didn't say an evil word, but we trusted what God said, and I just kept throwing it back at God. You said that boy was mine. No, you said. When everybody else was telling me something, I'm like, you have no idea who I serve. You said that boy was mine, therefore he's mine. then that settles it. It's finished. And let me tell you, it was 3 months later that boy was back in my home, and he's never left again. Why? Because God spoke. And so here's the thing. If he did that for me, and I'm really nobody. If he did that for me, I'm somebody in Christ, but I'm not a famous person. I'm not the smartest person. I'm just a person that follows hard after God. And I'm a Jesus lover. If you know anything about me, I love Jesus. I love everything about him because he never fails me. He's never forsaken me. He has provided for me in ways that I can't even think or imagine. And he continues to direct my steps, and he continues to speak to me. All right, so anyway, I get excited about that. So number one, we need to set an appointment with God. Number two, we need to be still in worship. Be still in worship. Number three, let's pray and read. And these are practical. I was telling, the first experience, these are practical applications. And it's things that we know to do, but some things we neglect doing. And sometimes as a church, we've made it more difficult to do these things than it needs to be. But we need to pray and read. And Mark 1:35 says this. Very early in the morning, there it is again. Sorry, people that aren't morning people. While it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house. He went off to a solitary place, and that's where he went and prayed. He spent time in prayer. It just comes down to this. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Let's not make it more difficult than it needs to be. If Jesus, who was without sin, thought it was good to get away to pray, then we ought to get away and pray. Now, how you pray is between you and your Creator. But let me tell you, you're going to say, well, what do I say? Kathy, how do I pray? What do I say? You say what's on your heart that day. What's God putting on your heart that day? You know, some people have all these lists, and I know people that got papers and papers and papers, and they surround themselves with a big circle, a bunch of stuff, and they do that kind of praying, and I think that's great. If that's you, that's wonderful. You know what? But I'm just saying these practical things that you want to hear God's voice, it's simple. We make it so difficult. You know what? Ask him. What is it that you want me to pray about today? Maybe he'll put a coworker on your heart, or maybe he'll put one of your children on your heart, or maybe he'll put your church on your heart. Whatever he puts on your heart, pray and be obedient. Okay, so we got the praying thing done. Simple, huh? Simple, isn't it? Really, when you think about it, we've made it so difficult. And then after praying, we need to read. That's where people really get stuck. Well, where do we read? What do I read? Psalm 119:47 says this. For I delight in your commands or your words because I love them. So where do we read? Can I give you some great insight this morning? Somewhere between the front cover and the back cover. Yeah? Somewhere between the front cover and the back cover. Somewhere in this wonderful book, just read. Yeah, are there Bible reading plans? There is. You could read a Bible in a year. That's fantastic if that works for you. Or maybe, you just pick a book every day. As long as you're finding somewhere to read, just read it. My point is just get in the Word and to read it, because how can you know what God says if you don't know what his Word says? How can he speak to you if you don't even know the voice of the Father, which is recorded here in the words of God? If we're going to become effective, strong Christians, we've got to know the Word. We need to open it up. You know, I read a proverb a day. You know, that's the book of wisdom, so I know I need more wisdom. So I've always just read a proverb a day. I read a Psalms a day. I read something from the Old Testament, the New Testament today. But you know what? Do what works for you. All right, just because I do that doesn't mean you have to do that. I'm just saying do what works for you. Maybe you have the little devotional book, My Daily Bread. If that works for you, then do that. It gives you a scripture, then it gives you insight into this scripture. If you have a devotional book, work with that. But whatever you do, just open up the Bible and read. You want to hear his voice? Hello? He's speaking. He speaks through this. He speaks through this. So we're going to open up our Bible and we're going to read. And then the fourth thing we're going to do is we're going to listen and write. I want to spend just a little bit of time on this morning, and this one is very misunderstood sometimes in the church realm because I believe in the creative arts. I believe that we should use our artistic ability for Jesus. And when God starts speaking to you, he begins to give you ability to write things that maybe you never have been able to write before, or give you dreams for a business. Any of you business owners that, you know, you know that you couldn't have come up with that business on your own, but somehow you got ideas for this business, and you're wondering, where did I get that? Well, I'm going to kind of show you in the scripture, when you spend time with God, he begins to open up things in your spirit and in your heart and in your life for you to be able to hear things from him. Then you begin to write it down. So the fourth point is listen and write. And in the Message Bible, Psalms 45:1 says this, "My heart bursts, its banks. It's spilling beauty and goodness. I pour it out in a poem to the king, shaping the river into woods." So really, in response to spending time with you, this is what happens. The writer's saying, in response to me setting an appointment with you and spending time in your presence, my heart bursts its banks. It can't contain all that you're saying to me. I can't hold it in. So when I spend time with you and I have that appointment with you, my heart is overflowing. And it doesn't overflow evil. It overflows beauty and goodness. And then in response to the beauty and the goodness, God, that you give me, because he's a giver of good gifts, isn't he? He says, then he says, I will pour it out in a poem. That means I'm going to write it out. I'm going to take my pen and my pencil, and I'm not a great writer. You know, I don't write songs. My husband used to write raps all the time. Yeah, yeah, that's my Latino lover back there. He has to write them songs when we were younger and be in a rap group traveling in Chicago and woo, such good stuff. But, okay, we got to get back to the topic. Honoring the voice and writing to our king and writing out a poem using our pen or whatever you use. I mean, some people just use a mural. And I've seen people in services where they just paint to Jesus because the music is talking to them and it's speaking to them. And they just start, you know, using their artistic expression and begin to express what God is overflowing in their heart. And in the church, we should be the most creative place. We should be the place where we honor the voice so much that we're so in tune with him, with when he's speaking, that we can't help but over everything that he's given us overflow to him. So I'm just believing that after today, that we have creative people in this house and been using their expressions to pour out a love song to God, to write those songs to the Lord. For you, those in this place that you put your pen down and you've stopped writing those love songs to Jesus, that worship music to Jesus, that rap to Jesus, whatever it is, pick up the pen again. Pick it up as you spend time with God, as you spend time with him. Write down what he's saying to you. Pour out a love song to him. In 1 Chronicles 28:19, it says this, and this is in the New Living Translation. All of this, David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me. He was spending time with God. He set an appointment with God, and he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. When he set a time with God, and he leaned back, and he listened, and he worshiped, God began to speak things to him that he just began to write down and express on paper. And then the next scripture is Habakkuk 2:2, and that's in the New Living Translation. And it says this, and the Lord said to me, because he was spending time with God, do you see it? Where he's tracing his voice all throughout Old Testament and New Testament, he's never stopped speaking. Just for those of you who've been taught maybe, and you thought, I didn't think God spoke anymore. No, he's never stopped. He's pursuing you with his voice this morning. He's pursuing you. It says, and the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. In other words, be able to share the message with other people. This morning, as you honor his voice, as you spend time with him, you set that time with him, as you read and pray, as you be still and you're worshiping him, and you hear his voice and you begin to read and you begin to write, honor his voice this morning. I want to share with you something that I had spent some time. This is my journal that I write my thoughts in, my God thoughts in. And it says, Mom, a title above queen. My kids got it for me. You know, I cherish it because it's from my babies. And, well, they're not babies anymore, but they're still my babies. And, you know, in my time with God, I had just a day. You know, sometimes you just have the day, you know, and you're just wondering. Things aren't just going the way that you want them to go. And I want to share this with you. It was my thoughts to God, and it was, this is what I said, Lord, I need to quiet my mind. This is me taking time being honest with God and my heart today. I need to have peace in the midst of uncertainty. Lord, I know what your word has promised me concerning my children, but I struggle at times seeing your plan over mine. And then I took some time and I just paused and reflected, and I sat there and I listened for God and I began to write. And when I responded, it wasn't like God come down and go, Kathy, write these words. No, sometimes we think it's like the movies. It's not. It's just a simple whisper in your ear. It's an inclination in your heart and your spirit. It's things that you normally wouldn't think of. And he responded so clear. He says, Daughter, don't you know that I love you? Don't you know I value you? I see your heart. I see your plans, but oh, my ways are higher than your ways. My love is flawless towards your children. Trust in the master plan. Take your hands off. Focus on the promise keeper. I will not fail you or your family. When we take that time, and I'm just going to tell you, if he said that to me, this country girl, he's going to do that for you. Set time for him, church. Authentic, God wants you to have that kind of relationship with you. He wants you to set time. He wants you to be still and know that he's God. He wants you to lean back in the times where you might be in a crossroad of indecision and you don't know which way to turn. He wants to be able to fight that battle for you. Some of you are in battles right now, and you're facing some things that only God can intervene in, that only God can fix. And my encouragement to you today is this: get your hands off. Lean back and let God fight that battle for you. If it's your marriage that's in shambles this morning, lean back into the arms of Jesus and let God fight that battle for you. It's your assignment to get in his presence. If you want your life to change and you want your situation to change, make an appointment with God. If you want him to mess up your world, make an appointment with God. Let him speak to you. Let him give him your marching orders this morning. God desires for you to have that intimate relationship with him this morning, to honor his voice, to hear him clearly. And it's pretty simple. I made it simple so you would understand that, you know what? It doesn't take all the fluff and all the spiritual words to say. It's just make time for him. Church, make time for him. How many of you said, I'm willing to make time for him this week? I'm gonna challenge you to make time for him this week. I'm gonna be still, because right now I'm not real still, but I'm gonna be still and I'm gonna lean back into the arms of God, and I'm gonna let him fight this battle for me. And then I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna read. I'm gonna pray and read. I'm gonna pray whatever's on my heart that day. I do my best praying in the car. How about anybody else? To and from places, I just talk to Jesus all the time, but in the car, just, you know, I got my music on and I just pray and read. And then finally, you know, we're gonna write what he says to us. He wants to have that kind of communication with you. He wants to be able to share with you what's on his heart for you. That's how much he loves you. And for that person in here that feels like, you know what? Why would God want to speak to me? He loves you. My friend, he loves you. He loves you enough to tell you today that he loves you. And that no matter what you've done this morning, no matter what decisions that you made, you're not too far from God. And that his hand is on you, that he's brought you to this place for a reason, for a purpose, because he's speaking to you right now. He's drawing you by his voice. Let's worship the Lord. Woo! We are a child of God. I just want to pray with you this morning, if I can. It's an honor just to be able to share with you this morning how vital hearing his voice is. And I sense the hunger in this place to hear that voice. And I sense his Holy Spirit moving in this place. I want to be obedient this morning. For those of you who are struggling to hear the voice of God, I'd like to pray with you this morning. We have people in this house that would like to pray with you this morning. Those of you who are struggling to hear the voice of God, would you come up front this morning just for a time of ministry? We want to encourage you as a community. Those of you who are struggling to hear God's voice and you're just having a hard time discerning if that's God or if that's you or that's the enemy, would you come forward this morning? Could we pray with you? Thank you. Thank you for being courageous and bold this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on now. There's no shame in it. There's no shame in it. Sometimes I need some people to gather around me to get some clarity. Sometimes you just need your brothers and sisters of the faith to come around you and help you and walk you through hearing his voice. So sometimes there's so much chatter going on that we can't always hear what God has to say. Freedom. That's what he says to you, my friend. He says, freedom. I just looked at you and God said, freedom. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. You are free. You are free. God says, walk in that freedom. Walk. He needs some people to come aside him and help him walk in his freedom. Is there anybody there? I need somebody right now. I need a couple men to get beside this man and help him walk in his freedom. This is life change right now. Why did I say freedom? Because God said the word freedom, so I just said freedom. It's as easy as that. We make it too difficult. But if God speaks, I'm going to obey. But sir, this moment, if it was for anybody else, was for you. For anybody else, it was just for you. Because you got some men around you right now that are going to help you when you struggle, because you're going through hell right now. But God says, I'm going to bring you to a place where you feel like you're walking in heaven. And you're not going to need that substance to keep you there. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, and you are free. You are free. You might not believe it right now, but I'm going to keep saying it over and over until in your heart and in your spirit you believe that you're free. I'm just going to obey his voice this morning. I love him too much. And I know you love him too much. Let's extend your hands to the people up front this morning and let's just pray for them. Can we do that, Father? I pray for every person that's here that says, you know, I desire to hear his voice. I hear so many other voices, and the other voices are taking priority over your voice. And Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that you would just silence the other voices and that they could hear the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over all those other voices this morning. Father, we thank you for each person here. We pray, God, that as they set a time and they lean back and be still and they open their word and they pray and they worship and they write, God, that you begin to speak to them. And as people are being ministered up front, and please don't stop, because God's doing a work up here. If you've ever been in a place where you haven't been able to hear the voice of God, and then you get to the place where you can understand that this is a desperate place. But for those of you that are in this place and you don't know this man that I've been talking about this morning, his name is Jesus. That's the man that I serve, the man that I love, the man who died for me, even though I didn't deserve it. He bled and he died for me. But not only that, he rose up again. And that resurrection power is inside of me and you. But you can't hear the voice of God if you're not his. Because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And if you don't know the shepherd, then you can't know his voice. And I would happen to believe this morning that there's somebody out there that doesn't know Jesus. But I believe in my heart that you want to know him. And if that's you this morning, say, you know, I want to know more about this man named Jesus. I want to have this connection with God so I can hear him talk to me, because I feel disconnected and I need to hear him. Would you raise your hand this morning so that we could just see that you want to know Jesus in this house this morning? Is there anybody out there that says, you know what, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. Anybody? I'm going to give you a minute. Anybody? Authentic, we love you. I love you. I count on a privilege to serve you. I count on a privilege this morning to remind you to honor the voice of God. Because there's going to be many people that come in and out of your life. But life change happens by one person, and his name is Jesus. And I encourage you this morning to go be like Jesus. When you leave these doors, be like Jesus. But more than that, when you leave this week and you maybe take some of the things that I talked about and put them into practice, would you email your church? Would you email your group leaders if you're in a group leader and tell them what God is saying to you? Because we want to know. We want to be invested in what God is saying for you to do. If it's to start a business and he's giving you the plans, we want to know, because we want to partner with you and we want to pray with you. If he's telling you that you need to step out in faith in a job area, we want to know. We want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. If it's that you want to have a child and you don't have one right now, but God told you you're going to have children, you come find me, because I want to pray with you. Because I know what it's like to want kids and not be able to have them, but God brought them a different way. Honor that voice. I feel his Holy Spirit this morning. I feel his Holy Spirit this morning. And for those of you who have been in church and you've stopped using your gifts, can I encourage you to honor his voice? The call of God is on your life. He wants to use you once again. Don't turn from him. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that we have the privilege to hear your voice. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Go be like Jesus. We love you. God bless you.